1 Samuel 30. So David, we find this young man, he's a shepherd, right? A shepherd boy. In fact, his brothers think he's not very good at it. If you recall, they say, "Ah, you've been following the sheep." Well, the shepherd's supposed to lead sheep, not follow sheep. But that was their way of criticizing him and mocking him. And what did he end up doing? He killed Goliath. And so they can mock all you want to. People can say whatever they want, but what God can do with you is amazing. And David was used by God to kill Goliath. Well, of course, we know he becomes he's rewarded for killing Goliath. He moves in with Saul, King Saul. We remember he had already played music for Saul when Saul was going through some emotional and mental problems. And now David is really living in the king's house. And he goes about and goes to battle with Saul. And there's a problem with that because David is so good at what he does that when he is praised, Saul gets jealous. King Saul gets jealous of this young man who he has, you know, brought up as his own for some time. And so he sets out to kill David because David, if you remember, has already at this point been anointed to become king of Israel. And Saul doesn't know that yet, but it's on its way. And so Saul is jealous and he's going to kill David, and David hides and, you know, moves quickly a couple of times to narrowly miss being killed. But he leaves the house. He's running from Saul. Saul's pursuing him in the wilderness, in the desert. And we remember on occasion, David had opportunity to actually kill King Saul, but David would not do that because Saul was the king, and that's God's anointed, and we don't touch God's anointed. But David finally tires, he wearies of running from Saul. He joins himself to the Philistines, which is kind of interesting, isn't it? Because Goliath was a Philistine. He joins himself in Gath to King Achish, and he begins to work with Achish, with the Philistines, and to run with their armies. And so he's got a band of men who have attached themselves to David, 600 men. His force is 600 strong. And he leads them in battle with the Philistines to conquer their enemies. But then in chapter 29, there comes an occasion when the Philistines are camped against Israel. And the Philistines go, the elders, the leaders, the princes, they go to King Achish and they say, "Well, hold on a second. That guy is one of them. And when we go to battle against his people, which side is he going to choose? We don't trust him. We question his loyalty." And that's in chapter 29. Look at verse number 8. David said to Achish, "But what have I done? What hast thou found in thy servant so long as I've been with thee to this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Now, he doesn't expressly know. It's not written that David would understand that they're going to fight against Israel. David just knows that he's being kicked out of the army. And so he wonders, why is my loyalty being questioned? What's the problem? What have I done? That's his question. What have I done? What have I done to make you question my loyalty? But when the princes confront King Achish, Achish goes to David. He said, "David, I'm sorry, but there's just no way. They won't go if you go. They won't let you go and be part of it." So Achish tells him, "Go home." Well, the good thing is it keeps David from having to fight against his own people. So it's a blessing. You know, sometimes when we're pushed away and rejected or denied, we don't see it as a blessing. How many of you have ever been denied and in the moment you said, "Oh, praise God," right? In the moment when we're denied and refused, a lot of times we don't see it right then, but maybe a few days later we look back and go, "Oh, I'm glad I got denied that. I'm glad I got rejected of that." because I would have been in a world of trouble if I had continued on that path. So David is hurt, right? His feelings are hurt. How many of you ever had your feelings hurt? Anybody hadn't had their feelings hurt? We'll go ahead and give you an opportunity this morning. But we always get our feelings hurt. You know, along the way, we get our feelings hurt. And in that moment, you know, it's painful. And David is the same way. It's painful for him to have his feelings hurt, to be rejected, to be questioned, to have his loyalty questioned. And so that's one thing. Well, he goes home. Remember, at this point, he's not living in Israel. He went to Gath and ends up living in Ziklag. And there in Ziklag, he returns, and that's chapter 30. He gets home. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. Ziklag had smitten Ziklag, and they burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And I wonder how many of us have been there. No more power to weep. Nothing left. Imagine they've been fighting. They've been at war. At their work, away from home. And when they come home, they didn't see the smoke, they just see the charred remains of their city. Each one going to his home and realizing there's nobody there because they've been taken captive. Everything is lost. Total devastation. Remember, when they met David, they had nothing. But now they've developed a life. Now they've settled down. These 600 men were men of questionable character, the Bible says, of the baser sort. You know, not good people. And so, but they've now been drawn to David. They've become part of his army. And they settled down and they had wives and they had children and they had made a life for themselves and a community together. But while they were away, they lost it all. And these grown men, you see what it says? These grown, strong men wept until they could weep no more. Well, there's only one way to describe that. They're all broken. They're all broken. Well, don't forget, verse number 5 tells us David's two wives were taken captives. Hinnom the Jezreelite and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. You see, as we look at all these people, the Bible reminds us, don't forget, David was hurting too. Number one, he's been rejected from Achish and the Philistines. They said, no, you can't be here anymore. You got to go back. You're fired. He lost his job. Now he comes home. He's lost his house, burned to the ground. He's lost his family. They're gone. Don't know where they are. I mean, have you ever had a worse day than that? But hang on. What is that? That guy says, but wait, there's more. Look at verse 6. David was greatly distressed. The people spake of stoning him. Hold on a second here. Y'all wanna kill me? Why? Because you're the leader. When you're the leader, everything's your fault, even if it's not your fault. That's just the way it works, isn't it? And so now they're gonna kill. He lost his job. He lost his home. He lost his family. And now his friends say you're gonna lose your life. So he lost his friends. Boy, what a day. Maybe you've had a season like that in your life where the hits just keep on coming. And he keeps suffering, and he keeps suffering loss. He's been betrayed, he's been robbed, he's been denied. And a reasonable person would give up. A reasonable person would say, I'm just defeated, I give up, I quit. In fact, maybe David would have said to those men, here's your rock. Go ahead and hit me. I'm done. Y'all want to stone me? Let me encourage you. Hey, now's as good a time as any. Don't let me suffer any longer. I mean, the suffering is so immense that David could have quit. He could have given up. And any one of us might have. Verse number 6 has a key in it. The last phrase there says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." When everything came crashing down around him, when he had no friend in the world, he didn't have Samuel to come to him and say, "David, pick yourself up, man, it'll be all right." He didn't have his wife, because she'd been taken captive, to say, "David, come on, you're stronger than that. You got to get back in the game. Get back in the fight." He didn't have anybody there. His right-hand man in the army didn't stand up and say, "But David, come on, man, you can do this. Don't give up. Don't quit." Nobody. He had nobody to encourage him to keep on going. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of us have been in that situation in our lives where there was nobody encouraging us. Maybe there were people discouraging us, and there was nobody to tell us to look up and be positive and keep going. David gives us the answer. David encouraged himself. Listen, I'm glad you have friends. I hope you have friends. But you have got to be your very best friend. You have got to be the one that is the advocate for your health and the advocate for your mental health and the advocate for your emotional well-being and the advocate for your life. You have got to be the one. I have got to be the one that makes those decisions, that analyzes the situation. Because people may have good advice and good counsel on the outside, but let's face it, nobody knows everything about us, do they? I'm the only one who can make those decisions about me. And by the way, I'll be the only one standing before God giving account for those decisions. So I may ask counsel at my friends. I may ask counsel of my family. But in the end, I am the one responsible. Well, David, in his situation, had nobody to turn to, had nobody to encourage him, but he encouraged himself. Isn't that great? He didn't just encourage himself, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He said, "You know what? I've got to do something. I can't give up. I can't quit. What am I going to do? Let me pray." And so he went and he found the priest, and he got the priestly garments. He put the prayer shawl on, if you will, and he prayed and he said, "God, what can I do?" Maybe he said, "God, is this it? Are you done with me? Is it over? Should I give up? Should I just lay down and die? Should I have let them kill me when we were standing out there? What should I do, God?" Well, God says in verse number 8, the last part there, he answered, "Pursue. Thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all." God said to David, "David, what are you waiting for, man? Get after them. You know who they are. They're the Amalekites. You know they're the ones that did it. You know what they got. Go after them. Pursue them. You're a great warrior. Take your men and go after them, and everything is going to be all right." You see, I don't tell people everything's going to be all right, because I don't know if everything's going to be all right. But when we go to God and say, "God, what can we do?" And God says, "Everything's going to be all right." I trust God. I believe him when he says that. I always know that our definition of all right and his definition of all right may not be the same. You see, when people are sick, I want God to fix them. But sometimes God takes them home. But I trust him in that decision. I trust him in that process. No matter, I trust him. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, dying wouldn't fix it. Unfortunately, in the last couple of weeks, I've been aware of several suicides in our community. Let me tell you something, dying is not going to fix it. The trouble you've got, even if there's nobody there to encourage you, you've got to encourage yourself. You've got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you have to be the one to fix this. You have to be the one to do this. You have to be the one to endure it. You can't give up. You can't quit. Dying won't fix it. All it does is create a lot of problems for other people. Quitting won't fix it. Sometimes we want to quit just before the solution. Just before the victory, we're ready to give up. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I was watching some football yesterday. And there was one game in particular right at the end of the first half where the coach called a timeout. And I thought, why in the world would you call a timeout? Just go to halftime. Just be done. But then I got to thinking about it. And, you know, he was thinking there might be something happening here. And I got timeouts. And as a coach, I used to always say you can't cash timeouts in at the end of the game. But they don't give you a bonus for keeping your timeouts. Use them. That's what they're there for. And so the coach used a timeout. You know what? I'm sure what he was thinking is, I don't know what the answer is, but something might happen. And sometimes in life, that's where we are, isn't it? But if we quit, it can't happen. If we give up, it can't happen. But if we'll just keep praying and keep hoping and keep working, maybe that answer, maybe that solution, maybe that victory is within reach. Ever driven through a storm and pulled over on the side of the road and wait for the storm to pass? I remember one time on I-95, I believe I was coming here, and I was driving in the storm, and it was just pouring down rain. I mean, you couldn't see 10 feet in front of the car. And I thought, I should pull over. And then I thought, you know, if I pull over and the cloud ends in like 100 feet, I'll still be sitting in the rain while the cloud passes over. If I just keep going, maybe I'll get out of this storm. By the way, I did. We've got to keep going. Maybe we'll get out of this storm. Not just lay down and get soaked. David didn't quit. Pouting wouldn't fix it. Anybody a good pouter in here? Y'all good at pouting? Pouting is not going to fix it. Quitting is not going to fix it. Dying is not going to fix it. And so David prayed. He said, God, what can I do? And his hope was confirmed. God said, go after him and get it all back. David not only encouraged himself in the Lord, but the Bible tells us that those 600 men who had quit on him and were going to stone him got on their horses and said, let's go, David. They mounted up. They got their swords and they said, let's go. We're going with you, David. Well, just a minute ago, they were against him. A minute ago, they were going to kill him. A minute ago, they were blaming him. Guys, I know that sometimes even our closest friends and loved ones turn against us, but don't quit on them either. Just because they quit on you, things could turn around just that quickly. Off they went. You know what happened? They found those Amalekites. And I like what it says in verse number 18. It says, David smote them from the... verse 18. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. Verse 19, there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Why? Because he didn't quit. Because he didn't give up. Because he didn't let the discouragement reach him. He didn't let the discouragement wash him out. We got to convince ourselves to pray. We've got to convince ourselves to have hope. There might not be anybody around us. And let me just say this. Even if somebody else says, oh, pick up your chin, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Do we like it when people say that stuff to us? Not when we're mad. Not when we're discouraged. Not when we're having a pity party. Look, when I have a pity party, if you don't show up with a pouty face, you're not welcome. Don't come in here with cheer and joy when I'm having a pity party. Like when I'm having a pity party, everything I say is right. As terrible as it may be, right? Am I wrong about this? Why? Because misery loves company. Job's friends came to him after his life had fallen apart. You know, the Bible says they sat down in the dirt with him for 7 days and said nothing. and I'm having a bad day, I'd rather you come in and say nothing than come in and be cheerful. And we're having a little fun with this, but the truth is this. As encouraging as you may try to be, the only one who can encourage me is me. The only one who can decide that it's not as bad as I thought it was is me. And I, again, we had a little fun about the pouting and the pity party and all that. We should be cheerful and we should be happy. But you know the most important thing you could do for me when I'm broken? Brother Henry, come here. Would you come here? Help me do this. Just be with me. Don't say anything. Don't encourage me. Just being here encourages me. Just be my friend. Love you. Thanks for pouting with me. Until I decide that it's going to be okay, you can't talk me into it being okay. My challenge to you is it's not about the ministry side, it's about the self side. Let me tell you something, friend. You have to encourage yourself. I love you. I want you to be encouraged. I've tried to encourage you. But until you decide to be encouraged, there's not a thing I can do. David encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do that? He got to the end of himself. You see in Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Okay? Well, that humble themselves, that means we get to the end of ourselves. That means I've got nothing to offer. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear. When I realize that my life needs God more than it needs me, more than it needs any wisdom, any skill that I've got, my life needs God. And I look to God and I say, God, what can I do? David said, I've lost everything. I was doing the best I could. I killed Goliath because he insulted Israel and God. I was serving Saul because he was the king of God's people. Saul's tried to kill me, ran out here, joined myself with another people, and I've been working with them. Everything's gone. My family's gone. My home's burned. And my own people want to kill me. God, will you tell me what I did wrong? Will you show me the answer? I mean, is the answer to go after these guys? God says, yes. Am I going to see my wives again? He said, yeah. Go get them. You see? Because he had faith. Because he prayed. Because he didn't quit. He didn't give up. And I encourage you, don't let yourself quit. Make yourself try. It may be in your situation that you can't fix it. It may be that you'll never recover. But I'm not going to stand before God having not even tried. We have to make ourselves try. Look to God. You say, I don't know what to pray. Then just be in his presence. Say his name. Ask questions. God, what did I do wrong? God, how can I fix this? God, is there anything I could do to fix this? God, I need you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And God said, you're going to get it all back. By the way, we didn't read it. David didn't just get all his stuff back. He got more back, just like Job. Guys, God's blessings will flow, but we have to surrender to Him and be obedient and pursue Him. Would you stand this morning? God, we love you so much and we're thankful to be here in your presence. We know that none of us can please you without faith, knowing that Jesus died for our sins and rose the third day to give us victory over the grave, to wash away every spot and every stain. And if there's anyone here this morning without the assurance of eternity through Jesus Christ, I pray that right now they would find hope in you. They would call out from their heart to you and say, God, forgive my sins. Save my soul. I accept Jesus as my Savior, and I give myself to you. God, do great things in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. I'll be glad to pray with you or pray for you. Maybe you're right up in a situation. You're pinched in a corner. Maybe your life is in shambles all around you. And I'm encouraging you today, don't quit. Encourage yourself. You have to choose. You have to choose not to quit. Not to give up. Dying won't fix it. Quitting won't fix it. Pouting won't fix it. Turn your heart to prayer and ask God to work it out. I'm going to ask Brother Andy dismiss us with prayer.